Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 19th day of August 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's right here in Champaign County at Stuart Peterson. We'll check in on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour with Katie Misick of DTN Progressive Farmer and hear from Chip Flory and Matt Bennett. They're both on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. And as we close out our half hour, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, that with meteorologist Drew Lerner on this Wednesday edition. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here what the numbers finished up like in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. September contract in the corn pit was up a penny at $3.67 and a quarter. December 378.5, up 1 and a quarter, and the March futures at $3.90, a penny and a quarter higher. July contract up at four dollars even, finished 0.75 cents higher for next year. And December at $3.98 and a quarter of 2016, down 1 and 1/4 of a cent. September soybeans today 9 3/4 lower at 903.5. November $8.93.5, down 10 3/4. In January $8.98 3/4, down 11 1/4. The March contract $8.99 1/4, down 10.5. And next year's November beans $8.84 1/4, down 6 1/4. Bean meal futures were at 324 even when they finished up today, down 60 cents. The bean oil, 2789, down 43. September soft red winter wheat up 2 cents at 496 1/4. July futures of next year at 508.5, a penny and a half lower. September hard red down a penny and 3/4 at 474 1/4, and July at 526.5, down 1 1/4 of a cent. Feeder cattle finished a dollar lower at 213.55. That's actually still trading. September at 206.52.5, down $3.10. Live cattle in the August contract down $2.05 at $145.15, and the October at $145.05, down $2.35. Lean hogs October 32.5 cents lower at $65.80 per 100 pounds, and December futures $62.10. They finished down 15 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the September contract at $40.60 a barrel. They're down $2.02 today. The ethanol futures at $1.46.09, down 2 6/10. And gasoline at $1.55 3/10. That's 9 3/10 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel 4 6/10 lower at $1.51 2/10. And natural gas on the day at $2.71 2/10 cents, up 0.8 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,323 is 157 points lower. The U.S. dollar trading down 0.69 at 96.39, and gold futures on the day are currently trading at $1,115.75 per troy ounce. That's actually the low on the day. Current trade is $1,128.25, up $11.65. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 30% chance of rainfall, mainly before about 3 in the afternoon. Cloudy and a high of 77 on a southwest wind at 11 to 13. And then tonight, a 40% chance of rainfall before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy. It'll clear out and a low of 55 with a west-southwest wind at 9 to 11. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 77 on west wind at 10 to 14. Thursday night, clear and 55. Friday, sunny and 80. Friday night, mostly clear and 60. And Saturday, sunny skies and 81 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. We're joined now by Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks so much. This morning when we talked, you suggested we needed to discuss China. Why was that the case today?
Well, you know, it's really interesting when you look at the fact that China basically on the 27th of July had an 8.5% drop in their Shanghai index, and then yesterday we had a 6.1% drop. Now, trying to figure out exactly what's going on, you know, they've kind of coined it as the people's war, okay? And back when Mao was in control, he was a big one, you know, he was a very tough leader, but he always said you got to win the hearts and the minds of the people. In other words, they have to have confidence in the government to believe that they're going to do what they need to do. And so we need to look at it primarily for a number of different reasons. You know, the government has been actually doing daily interventions to try and influence their market prices. And the thing they didn't catch on to was that 80% of all their trading is done by retail investors. And they kind of figured it out when China said, well, if we get to 4,000, we're not going to do these daily interventions. But if we get back down to 3,500, we are. And so now all of a sudden they're buying low, selling high, or selling high and buying low. And that's totally opposite of what this government wants to do, because what they're trying to do is pump it up. They've pumped in more than a trillion yuan into this market since July because they figure that would restore confidence and stabilize the market. Then what did they do last week? They devalued the yuan. Okay. So they have a big problem there from the standpoint that they've lost the confidence of their people. You know, they have a new leader. You know, he's not around for a long time, so a lot of the older people don't have any idea what's going on with him. He hasn't proven himself to be the big government reformer that he basically came in on and said he was going to be. And so today Goldman Sachs came out and said that they estimated the Chinese government has already spent in U.S. dollars $150 billion in stock purchases, you know, to try and stabilize things. So the question comes down to, and I think you could see it all over in the market today, there are concerns. Now, the IMF, you know, International Monetary Fund, this morning announced that they're not going to consider putting the yuan into their basket of currencies, which would give them basically a level of credibility with investors and perhaps a lot more confidence in the financial markets until September 30th of 2016. That was a really tough blow for them. And so I believe what we're seeing today is, you know, you hear it coined risk off. I think that's what's going on. We have very big concerns about exports of beans and bean meal and oil over to the China sector. We all know that there's some corn issues there. You know, there's just so many things. And then the Feds came out and said that, you know, it still sounds like there might be a rate hike coming down, but, you know, the governors are split as to whether inflation justifies it. And, you know, this was prior to when China devalued the currency, but their next meeting is until September, you know, and that's when it's expected that we're going to actually see this. So there's an awful lot of things going on out in the marketplace, and this whole China thing is just kind of tipping everything upside down. They have got to figure out how to stabilize that market. Otherwise, you know, their expected growth of 6.5% may not even be that when it comes out in the next quarter.
Thanks for the update, Jackie. We do appreciate you being with us for the afternoon.
Not a problem, Todd. You have a great day. Thank you.
Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Check us out online at willag.org. A couple of events coming up in the next 24 hours. Tonight, a Willag panel in Watseka, and tomorrow morning on the South Farms here in Urbana-Champaign, Agronomy Day. Now up next, let's turn our attention directly to the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. I spoke with Chip Flory earlier today. He's traveling through Iowa and had the complete list of numbers from Nebraska.
Right now, we are in southwest Iowa, just made our way up to Cass County. We pulled about five stops, And I'm telling you, I'm a little disappointed with what I'm seeing. It's not unexpected, Todd, because of the conditions that they had early in the season with all the water during the planting season. But we've seen corn maturity range from late milk to, early dent. Things looking pretty solid that way. But the variability that Brian has been looking at over in the Eastern Belt is starting to sneak in to the Western Belt here as well. So 150 bushels is kind of what we're looking at so far on my route. Now, another route that's running through Southwest is looking at 200 bushel corn. So it's interesting to see that after looking at nothing but consistency in the corn crop through South Dakota, Nebraska, that we're running into the variability down here in Southwest Iowa. Now, things are going to improve as we move into West Central and get even better as we get into the Northwest part of the state.
Tell me about that Nebraska number yesterday at 165 bushels to the acre. What's happening there?
Well, we always measure Nebraska about 15 bushels light, okay? So you got to compare it on a percentage basis to USDA. Now, so that 165 bushels is up 0.8%, just under 1% increase from a year ago. And if you add the 15 bushels, it puts you at 180 bushels per acre. USDA on August 1 put it at 187 bushels per acre. That was up 4.5%. To me, that seems like a stretch based on what we saw. Maturity of the crop is not an issue, but there's some disease problems in the state. We deal with some disease problems in that irrigated corn all the time over there, and if they didn't get after it, put some kind of fungicide on, they're probably going to suffer a little bit on the yield potential on those irrigated fields. And the Nebraska crop, if it's going to be a really, really good crop, you got to see some of those irrigated yields bust up around 250 bushels per acre. We didn't quite get there. But the dryland crop does seem to be pushing it up from the bottom, and that's going to help out that Nebraska crop. Probably, I like the 180 number. I really do. That's kind of feels like what we look at out there.
All right. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, and there are two items left for me. One is, it looks here in our part of the world as if this crop is maturing very quickly. Do you see that in the travels you've made? And secondly, farmers are really beginning to worry about gray leaf spot and other disease problems.
Yeah. Yeah. The disease issues are something that we need to pay attention to, no doubt about it. Nebraska guys, if they didn't get after it and get some fungicide applied to that crop, there's a couple of fields that I was in that look like they're shut down. They have done everything that they're going to do, and the kernel size is going to stink in those fields. So there's no question that you had to do something to keep the disease out of the field this year, or you're going to get hurt. Then on the maturity of the crop, good point here, Todd. I'm glad that you mentioned it, because that the crop in Nebraska in particular, it got to pollination about on time. And if with that being the case, we should have been looking at corn that was in the late doe, very early dent stage. Some of those fields that we were in were pretty heavily dented already. So it feels like it rushed from the maturity of the crop was rushed a little bit after pollination. And that's never a good thing. You don't want to do that. You want to keep things nice and slow and just slow cook it into the end of the year and let that kernel accumulate as much dry matter as it possibly can. I think we pushed it just a little bit too hard, and that might take just a bit of the bloom off the rose in Nebraska.
And I tell you what, I came by two fields yesterday coming out of Springfield that you could chuck this week.
Really?
Yeah, they were completely dead. They were dried down. I didn't get out and look, but there is no green left on them. So
Wow. Anyway.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yep. We'll watch it and see how it turns out. Hey, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Bye, man.
Chip Florey is leading the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. He was in South Dakota, then Nebraska, and now Iowa. And that's the case also for Matt Bennett on that western leg, but running a different route. He's in central Iowa as we speak now, but this morning he was in southwestern part of Iowa, and yesterday he was in Nebraska.
Yesterday in Nebraska, I was probably a little disappointed with what the USDA had forecasted, especially with maybe you know, a situation like Indiana, Ohio coming in even lower than USDA, that would, in my opinion, exacerbate Nebraska and Iowa really making up for that. So I guess in my opinion, I was a little bit disappointed with that. And then we got into Iowa today. All of our stops thus far have been average to below average until this last stop, which we found the best corn that I've seen since we've been on the tour. We're getting a little farther north in Iowa, and I think we're going to see some pretty good corn the farther north we go.
How good has the crop been at its best? And I know this last stop was the best. What kind of yield did you pull?
We pulled a yield similar to what we were looking at last year of just a little over 250. Two stops ago, we had a yield that was 94. So we have a fair amount of variability. There's some really good corn out here, and you know, there's some corn that had some struggles, especially in that southwestern portion of the state where they got so much rain early on.
I suppose you expect to see better corn throughout the rest of the day today than you've seen already this morning?
Yes, I would say that we would need to. I mean, we're even with that big yield, though, we're probably averaging 155 at this point. So, you know, we've had a lot of yields under 150 and a few over 150, but we're probably looking at about 155, 160 right now.
How many stops will you make today, and how many do you have yet to go?
We've made 9 stops thus far, and we'll probably end up making 15 to 16 total, I would say.
So you're more than halfway through at this point.
Yeah, we're more than halfway through for the day. And I think that all the best yields that we're going to see are going to be the rest of today, and then, you know, tomorrow should be good in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota.
Have the soybeans maintained their really good look throughout the whole route?
Pretty much, yeah. Beans have been consistently good. We haven't really found any bad bean fields thus far today.
That was not the case, by the way, for the Crop Scouts on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Katie Misick traveled through Ohio and then Indiana and across the border into Illinois, right into the dead center part of Iroquois County yesterday. She was just dumbfounded by that county.
Well, Pat, when we moved into Iroquois County in Illinois, we saw some of the roughest corn of the day. It was really yellow and uneven, and our yield numbers were below 100 in that county. As we moved southwest, well, we also moved up to Kankakee, but when we turned southwest, we noticed some notable improvement as we moved towards Bloomington. We went from a couple of stops at about 120 to around the southern end of Livingston County and McLean. Our averages were about 188, 187. The corn crop looked really nice. The beans yesterday also looked like they would do fairly decent. We were amazed at the excellent plant health. We had been told we'd see some FDS and perhaps some white mold problems, and we didn't really see much of it at all yesterday in the early part of our travels.
And then today?
And then today. Today has been a much more consistent corn crop that we saw. We moved up through Woodford, Marshall, Putnam, Bureau counties earlier today, and our samples were all about 205 as our most excellent crop was in Bureau County. We had a 233 bushel per acre estimate. It had a really strong ear count. The grain length was there, and it was 8 kernels around the average. So it was a pretty strong showing. From there, it seemed as though we moved into some sandier soil towards the western edge of Bureau County and in Henry County, and our yields dropped to about 142 to average, or two together. And so we've seen some decent corn today. Our average is about 183. Yes, last year on these routes, they saw something closer to about 200. So we're still seeing good corn crops, not quite like what we saw last year.
Thanks for the update, Katie. I do appreciate it. Good luck out on the road.
Fantastic. You're welcome. No problem.
Katie Misick is markets editor for DTN Progressive Farmer, traveling on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. In just a couple of hours, I'll be in Watseka in Iroquois County for, what, the third or fourth time this year, because I just could not resist going up to see all the damage from the rainfall that fell earlier in the year. Another look at it for me tonight as I head up to the First Trust and Savings Bank's Customer Appreciation Meal. We'll be putting on a Will Ag panel tonight that includes Merrill Crowley and Bill Jennings. entry. That starts, at least for registration, at 4:30, 5 o'clock for the meal, and 6 o'clock for the panel. That's at the First Trust and Savings Bank tent on the main drag in Watsika. Tomorrow morning, please do join me on the South Farms right here in Urbana-Champaign, just to the east and the south of the State Farm Center. That's the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road. At 7 a.m., we'll start sending rack wagons into the field for the annual Agronomy Day. This is open and free to everybody. There is a meal that costs at the midday. It's a good meal. Won't cost very much. Bring some cash along with you. And we'll have a great morning on the South Farms. Your opportunity to meet and chat with the researchers and scientists working on your behalf and get a look at the kinds of research that they're doing in the plots on the South Farms. That's near the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road, the State Farm Center. Agronomy Day starts at 7 a.m., wraps up around the noon hour. You'll need all 4 hours or 5 hours to get through the four different tours if you'd like to see them all tomorrow morning. And you're invited to come out to the South Farms. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market now. We'll talk about that with Pete Peterson. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, the ethanol plant. Thanks, Pete, for being with us this afternoon. I know that the Pro Farmer Crop Tour went through your area. You've been on the ground and talking about the rough conditions there for a long time. Has that crop begun to turn and mature yet?
Some areas a little bit. The beans, I think some guys, laymen's out there continue to see some sudden death in fields and think beans are turning, but corn, not quite yet, but it's not too far away.
Okay, so what are conditions like today? I know they probably haven't gotten much better, although that may not be the case for the soybeans.
No, we've over the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've had a pretty dry spell, and with the crop not having good root system, it's starting to show, tell us a little bit of rolling in the fields, stressing the crop pretty good, so a little concerning. We've had a few showers over the last few days, and that's about the only change we've seen.
So do you think that the soybeans, how good will they be?
I don't know. I guess I'm still optimistic on the beans. They're very short. They look good, which can be very deceiving, but, they've got decent pod counts. It's just a matter of how much stress of the early moisture did on them. The short beans are always the big question mark, but I've seen many times short beans have surprised you. So we need a couple rains here, though, to help finish it out.
How big do you think your draw area to feed the ethanol plant will have to be this year, and what kind of change will that have on your bids?
Well, bids are aggressive right now, and I continue to see them be the same throughout harvest. I would say at this point in time that a lot of the crop is going to be able to be stored on the farm, so our draw area is going to have to go out a lot farther than normal and, to find those extra bushels during fall in particular. Probably some drying programs out there to help incent guys to bring stuff to town. We are concerned with the quality of this grain because of the different ear sizes, how they're going to have to set a machine to in theory, not grind it off, I guess, and a lot of fluff in here is going to be a storability issue.
And what are your bids for the day?
Let's see. Right now, at the climbers, we're at 10 over the December, 388. And let's see, on the bean side down at Delphi, we are 45 over the November at 938.
Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll see you.
Pete Peterson is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He's there outside of Logansport, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes.
Support comes from AgriGold. Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Soft Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1785, Seth Thomas was born. An American clock manufacturer, Thomas was one of the pioneers in the mass production of clocks. In 1851, Charles E. Hyers was born. Hyers invented a particular flavored root beer. As a Philadelphia pharmacist, he sampled a herb tea while visiting New Jersey. Back home, he created a similar drink, Heyer's Herb Tea, with sassafras as the main flavoring ingredient. He sold the mixture at the 1876 Philadelphia Centennial Exposition in tiny packets containing barks, herbs, and berries for housewives to brew as root beer. In 1856, Gale Borden was granted a patent for a process to make condensed milk, which he developed in 1853. Condensed milk could be preserved for long periods of storage. His company's advertising slogan, "The milk from contented cows," was a tremendous success. The flat-top cans are still available today. And in 1887, Spencer Fullerton Baird died. An American naturalist and zoologist, he was the second secretary of the Smithsonian Institution. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This is the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Thanks, Drew, for being with us. Tell me about the weather over the next 24 hours and into the weekend.
Well, we are looking at a frontal boundary that will continue to work its way across the Midwest over the rest of this day and overnight tonight and into the day tomorrow. It'll favor the eastern portions of the Midwest. Very important rain event actually coming up here. Many areas in the eastern portions of the country, or at least the Midwest, are going to need to have this rain in order to take care of crops as we move forward through the latter part of August and into early September. That time period, we're expecting to see a lot of drying take place across a big part of the region. And as that drying takes place, of course, the crops need to become a little bit stressed. We still have good subsoil moisture across a big part of the region, but I think we're going to exhaust some of that as we move forward towards the 1st of September. And so it's going to be important if we get little rain events like this one to succeed for the region. I think we'll pick up on a quarter of an inch, maybe a localized amount of 3/4 of an inch in some locations. That'll be a welcome. It's still not that much. Of course, temperatures are going to be cool across the Midwest during a big part of this coming week, and that's going to help out tremendously. The heat will come back as we get into the last week of August and may stay with us in parts of the region into the first days of September.
Have you looked into that month, and do you have any indication of what the weather will be like?
It looks to me like there's going to be a ridge of high pressure that will be present across a fair amount of the plains during a big part of September. That ridge isn't going to be real strong, but it will be a persistent feature. You know, little disturbances will move over the top of it and down across the Midwest. So we'll end up with a warmer temperature bias in the western parts of the Corn Belt and across the plains. And then in the far eastern part of the Midwest, Michigan down to Ohio, maybe northeastern Indiana, there might be a slight cooler bias to our temperatures in September. Maybe a risk of some early season cold threats as we get closer to October, but that's a long ways out in time. Precipitation-wise, below average for most of the southwestern half of the Corn Belt, and then we'll see near normal in the rest of the region.
Hey, thanks, Drew. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a link to our calendar of events that includes tonight a WillAg panel in Watseka, Illinois for First Trust and Savings Bank, their appreciation dinner for their customers. The tent flaps there open about 4:30. At 5 o'clock the meal. At 6 o'clock we'll take the stage and discuss the marketplace there in Iroquois County and across all of the nation, of course. That's tonight in Watseka, Illinois. And then tomorrow morning you're invited to the South Farms here in Urbana-Champaign. That's just to the east and the south of the State Farm Center, the Assembly Hall, on St. Mary's Road, open at 7 a.m. The rack wagons will begin to go into the field. I'll be sending them out there for the next 4 or 5 hours up to about 11:30 or so. It'll take you all of that time to see all four tours, so do arrive early. The Agronomy Day experience starts at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. You're invited to the South Farms, just to the east and the south of the State Farm Center, the Assembly Hall.